With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Researchers have reported a case of antibiotic-resistant bacteria passing between dogs and their owners. And these bacteria aren't just resistant to any antibiotic, they're resistant to colistin, an antibiotic of last resort that we usually use when all other treatments have failed. Mark Holmes is a vet and microbial scientist from the University of Cambridge. He wasn't involved in the research, but he's been taking a look for us. So, Mark, where exactly did they find these bacteria?
So these researchers investigating potential transmission looked at 80 households in Portugal, and they found in about 8% of the pets, they looked at cats and dogs, and in about 3% of the people, when they grew the bacteria from feces samples, they identified bacteria that had this resistance.
8% seems like quite a high number.
Yeah, they looked at about 100 pets in total. I think it is a worrying figure.
And what kinds of bacteria are they?
So they're a type of bacteria that you commonly find in most mammals' guts. So E. coli or Escherichia coli. There are strains that are only found in particular host species, but there are many examples of this species of bacteria that we know can jump relatively easily between people and animals.
How did this antibiotic-resistant bacteria get into the dogs and the cats?
Yeah, and it's interesting this because colistin is not an antibiotic that would have been used on cats and dogs, either in Portugal or in the UK. However, these resistance genes often live on a plasmid, which is a mobile piece of DNA that the bacteria sort of share among, the E. coli share amongst themselves. And the package may contain more than one antibiotic. So I suspect what may have happened here is the use of conventional or non-critical antibiotics has actually selected bacteria to survive that have this plasmid or have this mobile genetic element, and the colistin resistance has sort of, you know, is a sort of hidden package.
And how might that bacteria have spread between humans and their pets?
Well, I think even in quite hygienic households, it's very common and very easy for gut bacteria, you know, one hates to think of it, but fecal bacteria to contaminate surfaces, to contaminate the floor. You know, we may talk about the, you know, if it's only on the ground for a second or two, 3 second rule, you can eat it. But anything that comes into contact indirectly with dog feces will be a route by which you could have picked up bacteria from the dog. And the dog can equally pick it up from people ferreting about in your dirty clothes or relatively poor hygiene will accelerate that. But I'll be honest and say that, you know, in my household, I could honestly say that, you know, we never manage 100% hygiene. It's always going to be some transfer of these bacteria between people and their pets.
Can they show that it's the same bug that's in a pet and in that human's home? Can they show that link between the two?
Yes. So in this case, they found in two of the households that the dogs and the people had pretty well the same strain of E. coli. You can genome sequence. I don't think they genome sequence, but you can genome sequence the bacteria and show that maybe they have only 3 or 4 base pair differences, which would make you think that they definitely had a very recent common ancestor. So they were effectively a transmission event had occurred.
And is the concern that, well, humans might then get this E. coli with this bit of genes in them that makes them resistant to the antibiotic, and then we might have some sort of E. coli epidemic? Or is the concern that that E. coli could then spread that to another bacteria that's really harmful to humans?
That is a possible scenario. I mean, a lot of the time, pets have the same MRSA, so methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, as their owners, and vice versa. And in this case, it's an E. coli that is normally a commensal, so Staphylococcus aureus lives on the skin, E. coli typically lives in the gut. The problem comes if you have a wound, or you have you're immunosuppressed, or sometimes just that the bacteria escape from their normal environment into the bloodstream, then you've suddenly got a methicillin-resistant, or in this case, a colistin-resistant bacteria. So these opportunists, you know, these are what we call opportunist pathogens. They can be pathogenic in their own right, but only if they break out of their normal environment. And there has to be some predisposing factor. But you're absolutely right. The broader group of bacteria, which includes E. coli, are capable of sharing these mobile genetic elements between species. And we worry that the continued spread of antibiotic resistance means more and more of the pathogen, so something like Klebsiella could easily pick up a Escherichia plasmid and cause disease.
Thanks very much. Mark Holmes.